Okay, we're going to begin now with our humblest pranams at the Divine Lotus Feet. Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba, thank you for this opportunity to have this many people talk openly about ideas about how we can help to continue to fulfill your work for us and bring your love and your mission to as many people as we can encounter. Sai Ram, everyone.
I don't know if I need this. Can you hear me if I don't use this?
It's being recorded for one thing.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay. I'll use it then. I'm going to start, Ted, with a little of what we didn't say this morning that we intended to but didn't have time to. Because Swami intervened with lots of visions and experiences of him, which was wonderful. But I wanted to say to everyone that one of the ways in which he wants us to think big, and I know this, I have this from him directly, is to think it's now time. We have it from Prashanti. We have permission from Prashanti. It's now time. We have his permission and his instruction to tell about him to those who are asking. For years, he didn't want us to talk about him, you remember? And it was difficult not to. And what happened to Sam was painful to hear and read about in his book. And I've done it myself. When you talk about Swami to someone who's not ready to hear it, they then say something derisive or sarcastic. It's very, for me, it really hurts. I learned really quickly not to do that. But he's telling us now that for those who are asking, it's their time to hear his name. It's that soul's moment to awaken to his presence. And Ted, I want a little bit of your help here, but what I would like to awaken in all of you is I would like to tell you what a great pleasure it is to watch this process. It is the best entertainment you could ever ask for. I am here to tell you that Satya Sai Baba has more ways to seduce, and I use the word after much thought, he has more ways to seduce than you could ever dream of. As many people as there are on this earth, he will seduce each in his own way, in a way to suit that person's personality, calibrated perfectly for that person's timing, and in a way you could never have dreamt of. And if you're the one, the lucky one, whom that person is asking, who is this guy? Why do you go to India to see him? What is Sai Baba? Is that a name? Who is this man? If you're the lucky one who can answer these questions, you'll get to watch this seduction process, and it is Satya Sai Baba at his magic best. I've watched it 100 times. I've watched it with people in this room. And it brings tears to my eyes to remember it. It's just beautiful. It's a beautiful thing to see. And the other thing is, as they say to you, what's his name? My heart just knows this is the moment for this soul that they've waited thousands of lifetimes. He tells us this. And he's giving me the privilege, for no reason at all but to please me, to tell them his name is Sai Baba. It always is a huge moment for me. Because I know, they don't know, they're like, you know, la la la, life goes on. To them it's nothing. To me, I know that boom, 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 there's been a huge implosion in that soul.
Much like Malkia said on videotape when we interviewed her a couple of years ago. Say, repeat, because she may forget what she said, but repeat how you described it to somebody else.
Well, that was a slightly different topic.
Okay.
But she was great, characteristically great. Malkia said on one of Ted's videos, when you know that God is in you, everything changes. That is how you said it, too. And And
yeah,
sure.
Let's just open up the circle a little bit more, and we can get more chairs in, including this one. Yeah, you can take that down there, so in case anybody else comes.
So what I'm trying to express is that when you are given the opportunity to witness a soul's reawakening to the awareness of love itself, incarnate on this earth now, you are being given a huge, huge privilege. And it's tremendous fun to watch. And I can tell you 100 stories. I've seen it happen in 1,000 ways. I have a good friend at home, a woman who's become a real good friend because now she's a devotee, who a year ago asked me one day, well, so why do you go to India in this very confused manner? And within a week, she was calling me on the telephone saying, I have to come see you. You didn't tell me he would do this. You didn't tell me he'd be in my bedroom. I'm telling you, he appeared in her bedroom within days. He talks to her now all day long. Turn left, turn right. Don't take aspirin for that. It won't help. Do this, do that. Don't tell your husband such and such. Daily guidance, just such a thrill. I have another friend who, and those of you who are from Cleveland, you must bear with me. You've heard all this from me 1,000 times, because this is my passion. Okay, another friend, and these are Westerners, very unlikely people. Most of them, yeah, very unlikely people. Another friend who told me after hearing who Sai Baba was, after asking me very shyly, who is this guy you go to see, blah, blah. And I only answer what I'm asked. She then said to me, well, you know, this was a month later, in a really embarrassed fashion, she said, you know, nobody knows this, and I don't want you to tell anybody, but when I'm alone, I sing to him. She'd never heard of a bhajan. And she said, I sing love songs to him. This was the most intimate secret of her heart. And she said, and when no one's in the house, I dance with him in the kitchen. I thought, oh, this is the most precious thing. I'm sure he's dancing with her in the kitchen. I'm sure he hears these love songs. He's making her sing them. Oh, this is overwhelming. These are people who are very unlikely to hear about such a Sai Baba. And I know, they don't know, but I know, you know, their whole life will change. These two women I just mentioned can't even tell their husbands about this. Their lives now revolve intimately around such a Sai Baba, and we all know this is intimacy at a level unimaginable beforehand. This is love at a level none of us could have ever dreamt of. This is oneness. And they can't even tell their husbands. It's incredible what he does to our lives and how happy he can make our lives. And, oh, I must tell you, it just keeps me awake at night. I wish I could tell everybody. And I would like to urge you to keep your minds open to do that. And I'm not saying preach, and I'm not saying proselytize. I'm saying present him, and there are two ways. First would be, there are three ways. First is, and we all do this, we know wherever we go, we represent him. We are him.
We should probably go to the slide with that, yes.
Okay, thank you. I call that the nameless ongoing presentation. Thanks, Ted. I call that the nameless ongoing presentation. For example, recently I went into the post office. I had just a huge stack of things, packages to send. They were mostly videos that we send out, la la la, all of it, Seva. A lot of them to India. The gentleman who, somebody, this young, really nice African-American gentleman opened the door for me. I said, thank you. It's surprising to me when someone opens the door for me these days, but I had, my arms were full, so he was just being a gentleman. I said, thank you. He said, well, let me help you with this. He helped me with my packages, took them to the table where I was going to wait in line, and then he said, you know, you have a lot of packages going to other countries here. I said, yeah, I do. And that confused him. That piqued his curiosity. And then he said, an awful lot of them are going to India. And I said, mm-hmm. We have a lot of friends in India. Now, in Cleveland, people talking like this to Ted would be understandable because he's recognizable to everybody. I'm not. I'm just this, you know, lady. He says, you have an awful lot of packages going to India. Why is that? Okay, this is it. This is your cue. Yes. This is when you know. I said, well, we have a spiritual teacher there. And that's my bait. That's Swami's bait. I place the bait on the table and watch to see if they begin to sniff, you know, like a little puppy. And he said, oh, you do? You have a spiritual teacher in India. Oh, tell me about it. Well, that was it. I know this. This happens everywhere I go. This is just in the post office. I knew. Now I have an email conversation going with this guy. We're friends. He's a mystic. He's a very great mystic. He is circling. I shouldn't say he's circling. Satchasai Baba is circling him. It may take a while, but I get to watch. He asks me these oblique questions, which I answer with little tidbits, because I'm the instrument, and I get to watch Swami sort of reel him in. I've learned not to overwhelm people with information. I've learned they ask for only what they can cope with, and to give them only what they're asking for. So in this particular case, it's a slow seduction, and I get to watch Swami. But I don't know if you guys know what a lasso is. Do you know what a lasso is? It's a cowboy term, an American cowboy term. You know what it is? It's cowboys make a rope that they swing in the air like this, and it hangs. It swirls in the air over the head of the calf that they're going to capture. And it's quite amazing the way they do it. If we weren't in the Midwest, we'd all know what this is. And it swirls in the air, and slowly they bring it down, and it gets the calf. It doesn't harm the calf. It just captures them, and they're caught. Well, I see this. For years, I watched this spiritual cosmic lasso over Ted's head. It took years for Swami to fully capture him. But last Christmas, man, he got him, and he's fully cooked, fully cooked. So I'm watching this fellow from the post office. He's very intrigued. He's very scared at the same time. So I'm watching that. And Swami's just feeding him little hints, little, and very soon, I know this, I've watched it, very soon there will be Leelas dropping from his lasso. And he'll be calling and saying, what does this mean? I think I'm imagining it, but I'll tell you. He'll say, I think I'm imagining it, but I'll tell you about this anyway. And I'll say, well, wait and see if there's something else happens. You know, I act very nonchalant. Meanwhile, I'm thrilled to death to watch another one bite the dust. Another soul whose life can be augmented immeasurably by reacquainting itself with the avatar and its own atma. So that's just to whet your whistle. I'm trying to entice you, seduce you into enjoying this and telling Swami in your heart that you'd like to be an instrument. I've told him, and he really does use me as an instrument frequently, and I everywhere I go, everyone I meet, I know sooner or later, and I don't go to many places nor meet too many people who aren't Psi people, so I know there's a purpose. Sooner or later, he'll get them.
I'd like to say two things about this subject because I think it's very important. I think we can all agree to disagree on many interpretations of what seva constitutes. A seva that has greater need, let's say, over another seva. Certainly people need to eat if they're starving. That's a great seva. They need a shelter over their head if they're in distress financially. That's a great seva. And there's 1,000 other great sevas. I'm a hospice volunteer. Rao does amazing things with financial support from his clients. Everybody in this circle could list probably a half dozen hugely important forms of seva. I'm of one person, two of us, who put a higher value on what we call welcoming seva than perhaps the average bear. I mean, those two words are well selected because of the attempts we made initially to express it that weren't correct. And we will talk about that later on Monday. But I'm about the correct terminology here. But welcoming seva to me is important because I don't see any greater seva than bringing additional souls to the fold. It can be to the fold of Jesus, Jewish fold, or Islamic fold. That's all okay as far as I'm concerned, and certainly it's okay as far as Swami's concerned. But to the principles and concepts that Swami's all about, that's what I'm talking about. That's welcoming seva. I mean, if there's 6.5-7 billion of us here, it's a tiny, 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 tiny fraction of 1%, those millions of Sai Baba devotees. Tiny fraction of 1%. So there are people yearning, thirsting to hear his name and don't even know it, and to see his form. I mean, I guess that's a refrain I'll repeat over and over again because it's part of my strongest convictions that that's a big seva for us. It may not be seva number one for you, but it's seva number one for us. And if we can excite a few other people to see it from that perspective, it'll be worthwhile. Second thing I want to say is, who are Sai Baba devotees anyway? Well, there's at least three categories I'm aware of acutely, and I'm sure there are many more, but there's the dyed-in-the-wool Sai Baba devotees, drop dead, take it to the bank. Sarojini's been a Sai Baba devotee for life and previous lives and didn't even know it. Jimmy Patel, and who's here who's been a devotee since birth? Yeah, they're the lucky ones. All they know is Swami. And then there are people like Jody and me and Margaret and many others who have come along and we've heard about Swami and we've become devotees too. Very important group. And then there's the third group. The people who don't even know his name yet, who are already actively searching for it, who are looking to see his form, but don't know which form is his form because nobody's there to point it out to him. I'm talking about people that we see now routinely coming to what we call welcoming seva, satsang, study groups, where people are coming because, well, they'll come up to us in a Kriya Yoga study hall at John Carroll University in Cleveland, Ohio. An Indian Swami comes and it's his life mission to instill the practice of Kriya Yoga to people. We go there. People find out by hook or by crook that we have an awareness of another Swami. Who's the Swami you two like? What's his name? Oh, Jody's got a welcoming seva study group coming up in a month. Well, could we come? Do you think it would be open to people who know nothing about Sai Baba? These are the people in meditation groups that have a yearning to develop themselves and grow spiritually, but don't know how to grow any further than they have. And Swami is just ripe for the picking for them. These people are ripe for the picking to know about Swami. There's untold thousands of groups, let alone millions of people in America right now, here in Chicago, hundreds of thousands, I'm sure, who but for the grace of God, who but for Baba's will, have not yet to this moment in time heard his name, seen his form. Now, Malkia told us a wonderful story several years ago in a Baptist church, in a church here in southern Chicago, and about her spiritual path leading to somebody telling her from a yoga group off to have her tell her own story about how people led her to find out about the name of Sai Baba. And here, fast forward 3 or 4 years, she is among us, making one of the greatest statements of her visualization this morning that I heard. And this happens over and over again. It's but for our unawareness that they're there rapping on our door that we don't listen to them, that we turn a deaf ear to them, a blind eye to them. And so Jody's the one who pointed me in that direction. And since I've been pointed in that direction, I very scrupulously try not to introduce Baba's name to people until they show some interest in wanting to know, what is it about your spiritual practice that keeps you so steadfastly associated with it? Why do you go to India year and year again? Do you have to go to India to be a follower of this holy man? These questions are real that people have, and they have no clue what the answer is. And welcoming seva? Yeah, it's a form of seva. It might be the one form of seva that transforms more hundreds of millions of souls in our lifetime than all the other sevas combined, every one of which is valuable, every one of which is pertinent. But and again, it's not fair to rank any activities that any of us participate in. I'm just here saying as a secondary voice to Jody's primary seva that this is pertinent, that there are souls to be given the opportunity to grow even further than they already have by having Baba's concepts, teachings, love, non-judgment really enter their hearts when given a chance. And I think before we go, I'm going to try to twist Malkia's arm to tell us a little bit about how she was brought here too, because this is a workshop, and as Jody goes through these different points, we'll have a chance to involve you directly.
I'll outline just briefly some of the ways in which I envision welcoming seva to happen in each center. It's our duty, I feel. We cannot make someone understand Sai Baba. As Sam told stories, sometimes it just falls flat. It's astounding. It's just astounding. But there are people who are totally uninterested or who can look straight at a miracle and not see it. It's just amazing to watch. It leaves me speechless, but it happens. And I've seen it. Those are not the people we would address or even bother. We would be bothering them. It's not our job to convince anyone. Only Baba can do that. And he does it by giving them experiences that suit each person's personality. What we can do, though, is give information when it's asked for and make them feel welcome among us. And that's our duty. If it works, great. If it doesn't, we've done our duty as human beings and as Baba devotees and as citizens of the world. We need to do this. So I would suggest that we think of welcoming seva as, first of all, that we are a walking, nameless presentation of Sai Baba at all times. And I actually think of that when I leave the house. Let me be an expression that you're proud of. Don't let me be a jerk today, you know? And then there's the casual presentation, what I call the casual presentation, which is when someone at work says to you, who is this guy? What do you mean by that? Who told you that? Or what makes you so happy? You'll hear it. This is your cue. This is the cue. Answer the question. Don't overwhelm them. Don't barrage them. Don't make their eyes glass over, and don't make them feel you're proselytizing, but answer the question. Be ready for another one. Maybe offer, if you're interested, I can give you a film. And Ted and I will tell you about a film that you can hand to them, or you can direct them to a book, or bring them to a meeting at your center. And I can give you notes about specifics, and I'll give you more information in a minute, but I'm going to go briefly over what I think welcoming Seva should entail. It's the nameless walking presentation that I am. That we are. It's the informal presentation, which there's a cue. Someone asks you a question, and then each center should offer, when it's upon need, a formal presentation of who is Sai Baba. And we can give you information and resources about how to do that, what not to say, what to say, what to be aware of, etc. Then each center needs to invite those people to join the center. They may not, and then when they show up, if they show up, you need to greet them. There needs to be a greeting committee. The greeting committee needs to say, "Hi, we're glad you're here. What is your name?" "My name is such and such. I'm Jody. Would you like some resource material? Here's your name tag. Here's my name tag so you can remember my name. Let me introduce you around to so-and-so. You introduce. You tell them why they're going to sit on one side and her husband is going to sit on the other side, which is a difficult message to deliver, or why they're going to take their shoes off, or why you're going to have to run around and find a chair for them if they need one, stuff like that. It's just to greet them, to say welcome. And I spent years, 30 years, looking for Satya Sai Baba, and I can tell you that every church, every group I went to had a greeting committee, and they made me feel good upon entering the door. "Hi, glad to see you. We're so glad you came." It was very nice. Very nice. And it really did make me feel good. And it is awkward for anyone to enter a room not knowing anyone else. No matter how poised you are or how poised you behave, it's uncomfortable. Okay. Besides a greeting committee, there needs to be also mentoring. This needs to be thought of as, which we'll talk about on Monday, we're going to do a whole talk about that. It needs to be thought of as a seva because it's quite time consuming. It needs to be, and it is very intimate. It's a friendship you offer. It's not just politeness. It's a friendship, a sponsoring, and an enduring thing, and it's very rewarding. As well as mentoring, the entire Sai organization needs to assimilate these people into Sai life. That's not so easy to say. I'm sorry, it's not so easy to do, easy to say. It's an a new viewpoint, a new orientation of mind. All of this, and I have many specific ideas about all of this, but that is what we're proposing. Is called Welcoming Seva. This is what Swami is absolutely telling us to do. It is time and think big.
So. There is a fourth group, and Jody alluded to it, and I just want to underscore it because I had neglected it when I talked about to whom are these sessions oriented, this Welcoming Seva. Obviously, it's preaching to the choir to present Welcoming Seva to you who have been longtime devotees. And for those of us who are new devotees, but we've been around for a number of years, it may not be as urgent or as necessary either. So it goes without saying, those people who are not even in a position to know his name, but are looking, they're definitely looking, and you know them when you find them, such as the employee in the postal office. These are people who are prime to pick up on some of their questions and give them an answer that might help them to want to go further with it. The fourth group that I neglected are the people, especially in Cleveland, Ohio, where we've been blessed, Baba's blessed us with many opportunities for Jody to make presentations to churches, assemblages of one form or another, introducing who Sai Baba is at the request of the people who are new to Sai Baba. She doesn't impose herself, but she's always obligated, she feels, to say yes when she's invited. In that group of people, many come, some turn out to be the president of the local Sai chapter. Margaret first heard about Sai Baba at one of these sessions where she was that quickly completely captivated by everything that Sai Baba was all about, immediately. Her husband Herbie the same way, rising through the ranks like a rocket, president of the Sai Center of Greater Cleveland today. The people I'm thinking about, though, are in none of those groups. They're people who have had an impact at one of these Sai welcoming sessions, welcoming Sai sessions, who are very individualistic. And it's not that they shun groups or look down upon a different culture. They just may not have it in their DNA to be joiners. They will come to major events from time to time. They won't necessarily come to bhajans at all. They won't necessarily come to study sessions, study circles. But they're the people, when you encounter them, maybe a year or 2 years from the time you first were a part of introducing them to Baba, you find out that like a seed in fertile soil, their faith grows deeper and taller all at the same time. And I'll give you an example. There's a study group at a Unity Church I go to in the evening on Tuesday nights called Course in Miracles. The minister who facilitates this study group is widely regarded, and it's really good spiritual growth material. And I'm there 2 weeks ago, and this woman comes up to me and introduces her name to me as if she knows me. And I said, "Do I know you?" And she told me her name, and I said, "Okay, where was it that we met each other?" "Well, it was 4 years ago." "And where was it 4 years ago that we met each other?" Because I've only been coming to this Unity Church for a few weeks. "In the Sai Baba study circle." "And which Sai Baba study circle was that?" "Jody's and yours." She came once. And she said, "Just because you don't see me doesn't mean that I'm not interested in Sai Baba." And she pulls her necklace out around her neck showing Sai Baba's picture. These people are there as well. They're really the unsung heroes of the Baba organization because they're non-organizational. Because they grow in their spiritual fervor without the benefit of satsang and bhajans and study circles and birthdays and events like this. But there are people we need, in my estimation, and I think Jody feels strongly about this even more so than I do, to keep track of these people so that we can at least extend the opportunity. There's a retreat coming up from our district in Chicago. There's a mini retreat in Columbus. Anil Kumar, who's Baba's translator, is coming to town. And Margaret, one of the new devotees, is in charge of bringing him into town, wants everybody to come. We want to give you the opportunity to come. There's birthday coming up where all of us get together and have a lot of good fun and cheer. And we just thought maybe you'd like to come. So we need to be able to track these people. We don't want to be a nuisance to them. We don't want to bother them or make them feel obligated. But we should. We have a duty to extend the opportunity for them to participate when and if they choose. They're not losing interest in Sai Baba whatsoever. If anything, it grows deeper than mine because they've got a single, well-focused, laser-beam interest in becoming part of his deepest fold.
And it's very easy to keep track of them. And I brought some very practical things with me. Just you keep their email up to date. It's not tough. They'll tell you if they don't want to be on your email list. You know, it isn't that difficult. If they say no, thank you, 8,000 times, it's fine. If they still want to be on the emailing list, that's fine too. It's still you just press send, no matter how many are there. Yesterday, a newcomer to, well, sorry, she's not a newcomer to Sai Baba. Sai Baba has been coming to her for a number of years in her meditations, but she called me, she has not encountered the Sai Center till recently. She called me on the phone and said, "I feel so alone." And I thought, wow, if only, you know, she could be, I said, you know, "I will introduce you to everyone I can. Just, you know, come with me, do this, we'll pick you up, come." All the wonderful people she gets to, she could spend time with and have satsang with, but here she is, Swami comes in her meditations to her, but she still feels alone. We need satsang. Westerners need satsang with Indian Americans. We need you to tell us who Krishna is. We don't know. We just don't know. We don't have the background. We don't have the depth. We don't have a grandparent and a parent who were devotees of Shirdi or Satya Sai Baba. We really need it and appreciate it. I do. I can tell you. I don't have that kind of depth in Indian spirituality. Americans in general don't, and haven't traveled either.
They may or may not have depth in their own spiritual practice, in their own religious history. I encounter people all the time, and I'm always surprised because we were raised in a fairly heavy spiritual religious environment. So many of my contemporaries have never had that. So let alone is Baba new to them, their Christian heritage or Jewish heritage is new to them as well. So it's a quantum leap for a lot of people, even those who come from a spiritual background. But as I said, many don't have any background, and for them it's really important to be there. Yes?
Yeah.
How about that's a spiritual teacher who has changed my life forever?
No, Ted. No, I wouldn't say it. Really, please.
I've said
don't
it a dozen times.
My guidance is very clear. Answer the question simply, briefly, to the point. If they want more information, they'll ask for what they can cope with. But keep in touch with, yeah. A universal teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I know. This is a good place to open up the discussion. I know. My own advice has. Guidance has been not to do it. It never works. Westerners particularly have certain blocks that Easterners need to be aware of. One of them is if you tell them it's an incarnation of God, they're going to walk away because to them, most of them, Jesus did that once. It's never going to be done again. And it's never crossed their mind that it could ever be done again. They'll just, it really, truly spoon-feed them. Trust me, give them what they've asked for, like for a baby. You give them a little pablum, they swallow it, and keep in touch with the person. They'll come back for more if they can cope with it. This is truly what I believe, and it works. And then give them what they're asking for at that point. Then rather early on, you say, well, I have a film you might be interested in. It's just 15 minutes. It's called Who is Sai Baba? You might enjoy that. And we are about to tell you, Ted, you can start handing that out. We are about to tell you where they can access that film. Or you can invite them to join you. Or you can say, I can give you a book. People will say no thanks if they don't want it. I've had one of my closest friends said, no, I'm not ready for that.
Thinking of 15 minutes. No.
Yes, go ahead.
They'll say no. They're frightened.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Okay.
Well, I don't know, Jody's. I think we're through them. Yes.
The slides. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're through the slides, and I do have one point I want to add. In spite of that, and that is to affirm what Jody's saying about the urge. Did you hear her word, spoon feed? I'm like you, Malkia, and I'm chomping at the bit to probably say more than I should. I try to watch myself, and sometimes I rein myself in and remember to spoon feed them. And if I blow it, I blow it. I try to do better the next time. But I want to give you an example without mentioning any names. When we were at a restaurant one night, and Jody's going to have to help me out a little bit, there were new people invited who weren't part of the Baba group, and there was a wonderful, loving devotee who was there. And the new person asked about Sai Baba, and the devotee was very forthright and very honest and very loving and very caring and said, absolutely the wrong thing. And the guest, our friend, she was horrified because it was too much, too heavy, too soon to go that far.
It's a turnoff.
It's rational.
Rational people, responsible adult rational people, can't swallow that message without Baba giving them an experience of it. I mean, that's like saying, go drink the Kool-Aid. You know, we don't do that. Rational, responsible adult people don't do that. I really believe that our role is to answer the questions that are asked tactfully in a limited, simple fashion. Let Baba give them leelas, then they'll ask more questions. Let Baba do the heavy work. And offer the film that Ted will tell you about, I hope, and offer your presentation at your center. Offer, I'll pick you up if you want to go with me to this meeting, this or that. They'll refuse if they're frightened. And I know it's, I lie awake at night wanting to scream it to the world because I want everybody to be happy. But it doesn't, I would do it if it would work. It doesn't work. It's overwhelming. Their eyes glaze over. I see it. They're repulsed. Oh, my family's, they don't talk, you know, they think I'm crazy.
Sure. One of the tendencies for many people, when they're approached by somebody asking questions about Baba, is to invite them for a bhajan. Okay? And I found out that that's actually the wrong thing to do. Because they'll come there, okay. They cannot relate to the bhajan, mostly the Indian bhajans. And they'll say, well, it was very nice of you to invite me, and that's the end of the story. They'll never come back again. So my suggestion is, to follow what Ted and Julia are doing, to start inviting them to a study circle first. A study circle where a discussion takes place, and they can ask any questions they want. And then as they get to know more, eventually they may be ready after a few times of coming to a study circle to come to the center. So this tendency of inviting them to a bhajan, and they go back and they say, oh, I'm sorry, you know, I can't relate to them.
Thank you, Ro. Thank you. That's why we've designed, and I can, if anybody wants some of these specific notes about, we've designed a welcoming, a Sai welcoming study circle, which is different from the usual study circle. This one focuses on teachings. This one focuses on the things, the basics that a newcomer would want to know. It doesn't focus on miracles at all because that's a turnoff to them initially. They'll find out. They'll hear. They'll see. It will come. He will take care of it. Don't forget the lasso, the magic lasso, just, you know, waiting. Sometimes it's quick. Sometimes people weep when you mention his name. They get it right away. Sometimes it takes years. I have these notes if anybody wants to take them back to with you to your center. I hope it would be helpful. There are lots of techniques that are helpful. Okay. Yes, we have a website. We have a website called Sojourns, SOULJOURNS.net, in which we have given access to this booklet called called Sojourns, Presenting Sai Baba and Establishing Welcoming Seva. And it's very specific in ways and pitfalls that you don't have to fall into, because I can already predict them and prevent you the trouble. I've been there. It's been years, really. I've done it all. I've made all the mistakes.
Jimmy, you had a question. It's a very delicate balance. The few remaining moments we have, I think maybe we'll open it up to have a discussion. But first of all, the paper I just passed out, for most of you, it's already familiar territory, because we made this video available to you in person through the generosity of Vijay Sai getting his Seva dolls to make many, many copies. Who is Sai Baba? That tells the story succinctly and in a way that doesn't get heavy-handed about who is Sai Baba, using his quotes and using his biographical sketch more than anything else. So that's available now online. The book work, the text that Jody was talking about, there's a reference there to finding it too online. And all of this stuff is moving at a very fast pace now, while we're getting it up on the internet in a very comprehensive way, which we'll be talking about at length tomorrow. So having said that, we've heard a couple of interesting, they're always interesting to me, because it's a question that needs to be thought about deeply and answered clearly for people. Does anybody else have a contributing story about Sai Baba? Yeah, the paradigm is, it's not because non-Indians don't want to come to the Chicago retreat. It's because non-Indians don't have a clue as to who Sai Baba is.
Yeah.
Or they would be here.
Yeah. Just so you know. Yeah.
True.
Yeah. Just so you know, Sai Baba blessed this booklet that's online for you. He did bless Welcoming Seva. This is our calling. He also blessed the film, Who is Sai Baba?
Yes, I didn't see you back there, but I see your hand up.
Just like he said, yesterday, you know,
I don't think the recipe is any different whatsoever.
Welcome the Indians.
Well, I said it earlier today that we are all teachers, whether everybody agrees with that terminology or not. And I think your example, your love, your selflessness, your egolessness, your save-a-doll, save-a-maniac work speaks volumes much more than any words could ever speak. And maybe for every 10 Indians who miss that in you, I'll bet you there's one or two or three or four who don't miss that. And maybe they're secretly pursuing this. And maybe they're just timid, and they don't quite know how to bring that up yet because perhaps they feel their family would ostracize them. Many stories about that.
As well, they may have their own guru or own spiritual path, and Swami endorses all of those too. It's not that we feel everybody needs to follow Satya Sai Baba.
PJ.
Even though smoking is injurious to health, and telling the same thing to everybody else is definitely a good thing, but not that much receptive by a smoker. That means if a smoker tells everybody smoking is injurious to health, that's okay, because it's a good thing to say that. But the recipient will see the person who is telling me is he smoking or not. So the prerequisite is to stop smoking and then start telling others not small. So that's what your answer to the question was, basically. The emphasis in the whole conversation, what I saw, was not really telling about Swami. It is about conducting ourselves and making it available to others. The seva concept is not about doing something what we want. Making ourselves available to others when the moment comes, those 5 moments.
Precisely. And you know what? You can combine the two a little bit too. And I told you over lunch, and I'll share it with you. Don't tell anybody else, because it's going to be Jody's talk on Monday for the most part. And it's a great talk. And that is, how on earth do you bring Swami to people without trying to beat them over the head, without trying to really do what you were talking about? Well, in this welcoming seva with virtual newcomers who come into our home, they're invited not to know about Swami. They're invited to discuss the significance of Baba's quotes as found in Sam Sanweis's book, The Holy Man and the Psychiatrist. So you might call it a lost leader. These are drop dead, take it to the bank, overwhelmingly powerful quotes. There's only one religion, the religion of God. There is of love. And as people come in and sit down in a circle, there's a new person, there's a longtime devotee. There's a new person, there's a longtime devotee. We start the ball rolling, we go around, we do 3 or 4 of these quotes. People come back a second time or a third time. They come as they came to hear Gyani Bailey come to our Sai study circle and speak on a Monday night. Sooner or later, they're going to say, I love these quotes. Who is this person? So it's the gentle, subtler approach, the lasso approach, the spoon-feeding approach. Any one of us can go too heavy, too fast. And it works for some, because Margaret, bam, Baba devotee.
Margaret.
Jody, bam, a Baba devotee. Me, 10 years.
Well, I've seen this in person at least half a dozen times that they have done it at house. The last one, I don't know, I think they had like 50
people.
And they come from all different faiths, and they all say, this is very, very strong. You know, I kind of like this quotation. And it's different from what I used to believe. And all of a sudden, they're asking more. Give me more quotes.
Baba does the heavy lifting. He does all the work. Rao, that last meeting we had, had this lady, you were there, Margaret, who... Suddenly she said, she has not a devotee of Baba. Suddenly she said, well, you know, I have this little box of vibhuti that's always replenishing. She'd had it for years. We almost died.
Is that Kavita?
No, that's Kimberly. We never met her before. She'd had it for years. She had no idea. She has a miracle going on in her house all the time.
And then there's Kavita, who's an Islamic American non-devotee of anybody. And we meet her at a financial planning conference, at which time I tell her about Sai Baba because she asked about my ring or some such thing. And listen to what she said to me. Oh, I haven't followed him for years, but I remember when I was I was a child.
She was like 16 or 17.
16 or 17.
And she and her mother,
she met him!
She and her mother were in an interview with Baba. And her father was the Inspector General of Police for Karnataka. And he took them out. She met him, and she never ever followed up. And she went through lots and lots of different problems in life. And all of a sudden,
so she's in her 60s now, discovering Sai Baba, really, for all intents and purposes, the first time in her life, but it's not. She met Sai Baba 40 years ago.
Oh, good. So this is what I mean. Stay tuned. Next time I see you, ask me about the blonde woman with the replenishing vibhuti who had no idea what she has. No idea. And you know, I talk about the lasso. She's like, she has no idea. Her whole future is going to be Sai Baba. We all know it.
Sai Baba sent her to you again.
Yes.
I know. And it can be all of us.
But Margaret,
and I want you to know, it is more fun than any seva you could dream up. It's so much fun.
And I'm one person who feels it's more important. Yes, the hungry got to be fed, and everybody in between. But what on earth, what out of this world can be more important?
But yet, I just want to recap what Jody said the whole time. So Jody, if a person isn't ready for the question, they're not ready for the answer, practically.
Right.
I believe that. It goes against all my enthusiasm and all my overwhelming love for Baba. But if they're not asking, I do not bring it up. They never heard it before. They never heard it when you said it. They weren't ready. So now they asked. And that's your cue. You're on.
I'll conclude my portion by saying, don't hoard what you have in great abundance. I don't know if it's exclusively Christian phraseology or what, but as we get together in Chicago or at Budgeons or Satsangs, we're effectively preaching to the choir. Yes, we're all growing and we're having a great time, but it's those marginalized people who don't even know his name yet or may know that much or forgot that they met Sai Baba 40 years ago and they're on a profound spiritual path that they didn't even identify yet because Kavita was not religious on any level. That these people are there. If we don't open ourselves to them, no one on earth will. There you go.
You want to talk about this?
I'm ready. Oh.
No, the Leela.
QT. and I will close by saying that I took a long time ago, it was maybe 15 years ago, I took a friend to a study group. He asked to go. I didn't know him very well. Anyway, when we left Jim White's house, whom you remember, we got into the car and he bowed his head. And I said, what's the matter, Tommy? He said, he was weeping. I said, what's the matter? He eventually was able to tell me, I've never met people like that before.
The Baba devotees at the study circle.
I want what you don't know about yourselves. is how. Excuse me.
Let me just spend 30 seconds in tying up both comments, because what Sarojini says needs to be fleshed out, and we don't have the time here. But what Jody was saying too is so important, because Tommy Solomon, this man who experienced for the first time in his life true love,
truly
among
people,
talking about the central theme of which he knew nothing about, Sai Baba, could very well have had the same ramifications, and we'll not know for a while, as to the experience that you're talking about, where Baba's picture is being given to President Obama. Go ahead. Yeah. Right. So we don't know. None of us knows how much the smallest kindness, example of love, registers another person. And if they start connecting the dots, if they start asking questions, they're cooked. Yes. Yes. Go ahead.
My friend was not the kind of person to cry. And I don't think he's a Sai Baba devotee now. But what he said to me was he had never met people like that before. And I thought, this is big. And I've never in my life met people like Sai people before. You just can't imagine what you have to offer. You cannot imagine what a change you can make in someone's life. I have truly no family of blood family. I have a Sai family, and they are far more loving to me than my family of origin ever was or will be. And I'm so grateful, so please share it with Westerners. We need it. You're here for that. You're our gift. Rao was with us recently when I turned on our answering machine, and there was a friend of mine who had asked for a film, and I sent it to her. And she was, I lost that tape recording, unfortunately, but it went about like this. This is my last comment.
Mm-hmm.
It went about like this.
Watching him.
Oh, Jody, thank you so much. I have never... I have never, ever seen or heard anything like it before in my life. It's so loving. I took notes and I'm going to play it again. It was about like that, wasn't it, Rob? If you want to make a difference in someone's life, introduce them to such a Sai Baba.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Sai Ram.